Okay, people will have to bear with me just a bit with 30 seconds of prior notice here that we're going to do this. It may be just a shade disjointed, but I will call your attention to the Research Steering Committee documents, which are behind tab 8. Specifically, there is the meeting summary, which is document 1. Document 2 is a summary of projects that are currently outstanding to be reviewed by the Research Steering Committee. There is a strategic planning PowerPoint presentation, which was done on behalf of the Research Steering Committee by GMRI and on behalf by NOAA. I think you've probably seen this before. And as the Research Steering Committee policy for incorporation of research results into the council management process, which I know you've seen before. So primarily we'll be working from documents number 1 and 2. First thing I want to report to the committee is that we have two new members, which is getting us up towards a full complement of membership for the first time in a long time. We were pleased to welcome Dr. Bill DePaul, who is a professor emeritus from VIMS, and Dave Butel, who is a fisheries and aquaculture coordinator at the Rhode Island Coastal Resources Management Council, to the Research Steering Committee. After we introduced everybody to everybody, we moved on to have a briefing by the staff on the current status of the $6 million in supplemental funds for cooperative research and the strategic plan that we had discussed at the last Research Steering Committee meeting. So most of this meeting was taken up with actually having discussions about how to spend money that we don't actually have yet. So basically we're in a situation now where $6 million has been approved, but I'm not quite sure of the language here. It hasn't been appropriated yet. In other words, nobody could actually lay their hands on the money. But it's out there somewhere. We know it is.
And print it.
Yeah, they got to go print it. The printing presses have been busy lately. But before undertaking that discussion on the plans for spending this money that we don't have yet, we discussed the list of final cooperative research projects that have not yet been reviewed by the committee. That list is document number 2. As you can see, quite a few projects have come in the last couple of months because we were all caught up. We also discussed the fact that at least in the case of the scholar research set-aside funded projects, that those will be reviewed by the scholar PDT. A lot of them have already been used in management measures. Some will be used in management measures over the summer. The PDT is considered a qualified body to review research projects, so the committee will not be reviewing the ones that have to do with scallops. So basically you could look at the 13 projects there, and any of the ones to do with scallops will be handled to a large degree by the PDTs. And Pat has a comment relative to that.
I pulled a little trick on you. This is a different list from the one that you saw at the committee meeting. So I pulled the ones that have that contained information that's already been used in a management decision making. So all of these 13 reports, they will all be reviewed by the Research Steering Committee in August. And there are two scholar projects that have just been received recently that were not reviewed by the assessment people or anything like that. So these are brand new, and we will take care of those.
Okay. See, this is what happens when the staff and the committee chair don't have a chance to kibitz before they give the report. See here. So after we decided, looked this list over and decided that we would meet over the summer to try and get these reviewed so that they'll be able to make it into the management in as timely a way as possible. We had Laura Singer-Taylor summarize the process and results of the strategic planning effort conducted by GMRI on behalf of NOAA Fisheries. As an outcome of reviewing the strategic planning presentation, the committee extensively discussed the idea of collaborative networks, or a single network in New England to better take advantage of researchers' expertise and reduce the emphasis on competition between principal investigators. This idea is still under development. We expect to be consulted some more. I think the council will also be consulted, and the addition of an industry panel was recommended by the committee, again, to make sure that the industry had adequate input into this process. So does anybody have any questions on that?
Questions for Dave? Okay, Dave.
Okay. After that, we went on to Dr. Holley went on to describe the guidance that NIMS has been given by both the agency leadership and members of Congress about spending the newly announced funds. Improvements in fish stock surveys and an emphasis on the development of fishing gear that targets healthy stocks were identified, along with studies of fish survival rates and analysis of cost effectiveness of different monitoring strategies and video monitoring in particular. So these are the highlights, I guess, that Congress and the agency leadership have emphasized as to how they hope that this money will be spent. And then Dr. Hoey went on to deconstruct the plan further so that we could actually see where they expected about how much of the money would go to various research areas, broader research areas. And those were survey and survey research, about 20% of the funds, including an industry-based fishery independent survey and survey research. Suggestions included a non-trawl survey that will reach areas not currently surveyed by the Bigelow and or state surveys, perhaps a bottom longline survey or a gillnet survey in non-towable bottom. This was specifically to get at some of the issues that we're probably going to be wrestling with under groundfish, wolffish, cusk, things that the trawl survey doesn't do particularly well at because it can't sample the bottom. And the idea is to hopefully develop some kind of a new survey using fixed gear that could survey some of these untowable bottom areas and help augment a future understanding and better modeling of these species. Also, survey research, the industry suggested shadow surveys to the NOAA administrator, as well as sweep comparisons and testing of use of a rockhopper gear versus cookies. This is left over from the trawl survey committee. Originally, they were going to test two sweeps. Because of funding considerations and timing constraints, they ended up only testing the sweep that they're using. The cookie sweep was dropped. This is still something that the industry is very interested in. We discussed it broadly. It's more than just simply testing a different sweep. You may want to construct a survey that's conducted outside the surveys that are currently done using that different sweep. At one time, we did have a winter trawl survey using a disc sweep that was primarily targeted at flatfish and skates. So the idea of this would be to finish that testing and then hold some workshops have some follow-up to decide what exactly it is that we would hope to accomplish if we were to add another survey. Second bullet was expanded conservation and engineering. This is almost half the money. A lot of this would be directed towards what we would call challenge grants, small amounts of money, typically on the order of $25,000, what I would call proof of concept. Somebody has an idea to reduce bycatch, say, in the squid fishery or the butterfish fishery or the whiting fishery or whatever it is. And we'll give you a sum of money, a small sum of money. Go out and see if it actually does what you think it does. Rather than funding a huge, very expensive survey to find out that it actually doesn't work, we would do this, and if it showed promise, then we could conduct a full-blown survey across a broad geographic area, day, night, all the things that would go into having the necessary information to approve a gear for bycatch reduction. And those studies are typically very expensive, on the order of $300,000 or $400,000. So the hope is that we could spend a little bit of money a lot of times and come up with one or two ideas that show great promise and then spend a lot of money on them and hopefully get them into the management process quickly. Gear technology transfer was also discussed. We have a number of gears that we have proved do work. And we're still, we're not seeing reluctance on the part of industry to use them, but people, you know, sometimes need some incentive, especially in fisheries that are seasonal or have very low costs associated with their products, such as the shrimp fishery currently. And this would buy people equipment basically to use in the fishery to reduce bycatch. And the more of this gear you get out there, the more people see that their neighbors use it, something that gets them a better product and do, you know, creates less work for them because they have less bycatch, the more likely it is that the industry's going to adopt it on a wide-scale basis. Other types of projects that might fall outside the above-mentioned categories included ongoing efforts such as the Marine Resource Education Program and the Maine New Hampshire Inshore Trawl Survey, and those would be supported by the current Cooperative Research Partners base funding. So that would not come out of this $6 million. That would come out of the money that they currently get, which is, I think, been on the order of about $2 million recently. It hasn't been a large sum of money. Committee members were assured that there is flexibility in the structure of the above programs and how the funds are allocated, depending on further guidance from key members of Congress and NOAA. Money must be obligated by the end of the fiscal year, according to Dr. Hoey. This means the end of September, early October, with the first competition occurring this summer. And again, this was all predicated on the time of the meeting and the assumption that the money would be here, quote-unquote, shortly. And I don't know, Pat, do you have any updates on whether shortly has arrived yet? Okay, so we're still in a situation where the money's been promised, but we can't do anything because you can't let contracts to people when you can't pay them. It was suggested that because of the timing issues, some type of infrastructure would be needed to set up to facilitate the needed research, but still allow the full vetting of the issues. And this is an exercise that may take some more time. We're basically running into time constraints here. On the one hand, the money will have to be spent by September, but on the other hand, we don't have the money yet to spend it. So stay tuned. Research Steering Committee and audience members recommended ideas such as funding flume tank testing, conducting species complex slash area slash high density surveys over a period of several years, gear comparison studies for different purposes such as area and species complex, comparing otter trawls versus gillnets versus dredges to determine optimal harvesting methods by species, season, area, and gear. So we batted around a lot of ideas with the idea that hopefully the competition for this funds will be wide and far-ranging, again, with the idea that we want as many good ideas to come forward as possible, and we don't want people to feel that they're narrowly constrained to have to do one or two things. As the discussion continued, committee members pointed out that the research surveys in the region, whether state, federal, or IBS, are not calibrated with each other. This spawned another fairly lengthy discussion about whether this was necessary and what we would get out of this calibration if we did, in fact, conduct it, and would it be pivotal to good science. It was agreed that the questions related to consistencies of survey results should be fully explored before spending research funds on the issues. And as part of this was the discussion that there will be a peer review this summer of the mensuration tests of the new gear on the Bigelow, and that really proceeding before that peer review is completed would or could potentially just be a waste of money. Let's see what the peer review says, and if it identifies issues, and those would be issues we would want to fund to get the answers to those issues. If it doesn't identify issues, then this question may be largely moot. Bycatch reduction in southern New England in the small mesh fishery was identified as a very high pressing issue that could be resolved with conservation engineering solutions, particularly with respect to winter flounder. The committee feels very strongly that this is an issue that needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with quickly. This is a good way to do it. The funding's here. The need is pressing. We will try to get on with that as quickly as possible. There were also some other ideas that are listed here, things such as physical separation of the species to be avoided, possibly through information sharing by study fleet participants, day-night differences in catchability, a host of issues that could be explored for relatively, quote-unquote, short money that might be able to lead to bycatch reduction or a reduction in incidental catch of winter flounder. Carefully designed discard mortality studies were suggested for a number of groundfish stocks, though we, you know, always cite the expense of such work as a potential problem. Also suggested were optimal towing times for some species during particular seasons, or were specified gear types or testing day versus night catchability. In other words, try to come up with ways to minimize. It's not just to minimize the discard of winter flounders. The winter flounder is a relatively hardy species. And if we can minimize the discard of dead winter flounder, that is what we really want to do. You know, whether you believe that we should have zero retention or not, if you're going to have zero retention, you want to make sure that whatever you're throwing back has the best chance of living as possible. Otherwise, to me, largely you're wasting your time here with zero retention. You may get a feel-good solution here that really isn't fixing the problem at all. So the committee ended its discussion with a request for more attention to outreach and education, including, as always, better two-way communication. So that's the list of the things we discussed. And if anybody has any questions or additions or things you'd like us to get back to the people running the program, we'd be happy to entertain those. And
thanks, Dave. Thanks for doing it on the fly. Anyone on the council? One in the audience? Back to the council. Is that in under RSC, Dave?
That is it.
Okay. One second. It appears I was hasty in my dismissal of the agenda item for the TEDS. It's in the register that the council will receive the presentation. And essentially, it's a notice of intent to go through rulemaking, I guess. So I'm not sure the presenters are here yet. The meeting, the agenda item's not till 6 p.m. Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly how to handle this because there's no other item on the agenda that I can move. Pat?
The parties that are going to make the presentation called about 45 minutes ago in traffic, although they expected to be here right about now. So if you want to take a quick break, we can give them a few more minutes. It's up to you, Mr. Chairman.
We have more up-to-date information than you do, Pat.
How is that possible?
We were told they were downtown, so it's a matter of minutes. So here's how I'm going to leave it. We're going to take a break. And when those people come back, we're going to come back into session and receive the report. And then I will adjourn the meeting for the day. Want to make it clear just to the council members, in case you're speaking with anybody tonight, that under the Research Steering Committee agenda item on Thursday, if someone from the public wants to comment or has questions, I will entertain that. But I thought it best to take the delivery of the report from the committee today, seeing as we had time. So we'll take a break now, and when the presenters arrive, we'll reconvene. I can't tell you when that's going to be. They were downtown not too long ago. So popcorn break, Frank said.